Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Money Smarts for You. Enhance your lifestyle by taking the positive path towards managing your money.
Welcome. I'm Barbie O'Connor, your host for the Money Smarts for You show. After years of working with clients, helping them save, preserve, and grow their assets, I wrote the book, Money Smarts for You, The Basics. I wanted teens, millennials, growing families, and others to have a chance to learn the essentials that everyone needs to know about money in their adult lives. This show is your chance to ask me about the financial topics that affect your everyday life. If you have questions or thoughts about what you'd like to hear about on future shows, feel free to email me at barbie@moneysmartsforyou.com. No one gets out of this world alive. At some point in your life, you will face the death of a loved one, and when that happens, you may end up serving as the executor or executrix of their estate. If you are most likely to be in this position for your parents, grandparents, or friends, it might be good to share what you learned today with them, since it will make your job easier as their executor. Today, I'll share with you 7 tips that you should know before you serve as executor of a will. Most likely when a death occurs in your family or to a close friend, you will know about it. You may be by their bedside when this event occurs. Keep in mind that there are a lot of emotions at play that are affecting your decision-making at this point. So do your best to make careful, prudent, and frugal choices as things progress. Remember that if you are asked to serve as the executor of someone's estate, before they pass away, ask some questions about why they've selected you. If you're their spouse, son or daughter, grandson or granddaughter, then most likely it is because you are related and therefore best suited to execute their wishes. If you are someone outside of the family, then find out what in particular the writer of the will wants you to do and what their expectations are about how you will carry out their wishes once they're gone. You may be a person of great integrity. You may have special business skills that will be valuable in the disposition of assets. Or you may be very diplomatic, sensitive to others' feelings, or willing to cut to the heart of the matter in any situation. If you have advance warning that you will be serving as the executor of an estate, then find out if you can meet the attorney who drafted the will, as well as go over the will with the person who has selected you for this very important job. Keep in mind as you serve as the executor, you have a fiduciary responsibility to the beneficiaries named under the will. You also have some liability if it can be proved that you acted in a negligent manner. So give it your best efforts and be deliberate and careful in your decisions and actions. The attorney who drafted the will can be of help to you through the probate process, and usually the estate can pay those fees so you won't be out of pocket. You may want to keep a journal or at least jot down notes that document the process you go through and the dates and times and outcomes of various meetings and events so you can refer to it later. Here are the 7 things you should do as executor to a will. 1, make funeral arrangements. Family members may want to make the decisions about how to handle the funeral arrangements, but the wishes of the decedent need to be observed. Hopefully these wishes are expressed somewhere, in a will, in a letter to the executor, or even in a prepaid plan made with the funeral home. Did the decedent want to donate their organs to medical research? Did they want to be cremated? Naturally buried, have a funeral, celebrate with a wake? If no instructions are left regarding the funeral decision, and if it is left up to you and you are the only heir, then make the best choice you can and watch your pennies. Cremations, funerals, caskets, and all the burial accessories are expensive. And in an emotional grieving state, you may be talked into spending too much money. If there are many beneficiaries under the will and lots of family to deal with, then consider their wishes as well if there is no clear instruction from the decedent. But make a careful decision, taking into account any assets available for this expense, the emotions of the affected parties, and the family traditions or expectations for this event. Some families have a private funeral and gathering at home afterward for family and close friends. Others pay for a listing in the newspaper for the public to know about the funeral or memorial service, and then have a reception afterward at the church hall or local country club, with the location announced at the service, depending on the stature of the individual in the community and the reach of their influence during their life. Sometimes the family minister or the mortuary staff will make suggestions about individuals who might be appropriate to give eulogies, or what religious passages and music to include it in the service. Pallbearers may need to have some strength to help carry a casket, while honorary pallbearers are present as old friends or associates of the decedent. Neither is required, but some families want to follow this tradition. Diplomacy and sensitivity will help you all along the way during this part of the process. Someone will have to pay for the funeral arrangements at the time they're made, unless the family has a long-standing relationship with the mortuary, in which case they may be sent a bill. If a member of the family can make out the check, you as the executor will need to reimburse them from the estate assets once the will has been probated. Number two, find and read the will. If the death of an individual is common knowledge, most likely you will meet and get to know the attorney who drafted the will in the process of setting up the funeral arrangement. Most likely the attorney will provide you a copy of the most recent will and any other testamentary documents that go hand-in-hand with the will, like living trust or management trust documents. Even if you don't like to read legal jargon, work through the will and take notes as you get to the sections regarding your job as executor and the list of bequests or disposition of assets and the names of the beneficiaries who receive them. After you've taken the time to read through the document, sit down with the attorney who drafted the document, if they are still living, or another attorney in the same firm, or if neither of those options is available to you, then find a well-thought-of, board-certified, if possible, estate planning attorney, and go through the document and the timeline over which this process is likely to take. A complex estate with real estate, securities, art, and other collectibles might take 5 years or longer to settle. A fairly streamlined estate with real estate and securities only might take a year to a year and a half, depending on its value and complexity. Rarely will anyone get assets immediately distributed to them. So if beneficiaries begin to hound you, then let them know it may take a year to 5 years or longer, depending on what the decedent directed. Some assets may never be distributed to beneficiaries directly, but may go into a trust for the benefit of the next generation. Number three, file the will for probate. Once you have read the will and gone over it with an attorney, then it will be time to probate the will. In some states, the will cannot be probated until 10 days have passed since the death of the testator. That 10-day time period gives everyone a chance to bury the dead, grieve their losses, and get their wits about them before the business of death begins. Usually, probating the will involves the executors appearing before the probate judge in person or via their attorney to be apprised of their legal responsibility of their role as executor, as is required by law, of the jurisdiction in which the testator resided and died in. It is in the probate court where will contests take place in the unlikely event that happens. Once the will is probated, letters testamentary or something like it can be issued by the probate clerk, naming you as the legal executor, giving you power to transact business in the name of the estate of the decedent. You will need a copy of this document in order to change names on utility accounts, to change it from the decedent's name to the estate of the decedent, security accounts, bank accounts, close credit card accounts, close any kind of accounts that need to be closed, and to execute your role as you go about the business of managing and disposing of the estate assets. Find and make a list of the assets, debts, and obligations of the decedent. Depending on the involvement of the attorney who drafted the will or the complexity of the estate, those assets may already be readily available for you to peruse and familiarize yourself with when you meet with the attorney. On the other hand, you may have to look for them yourself. As executor, you will most likely have access to the home and office records of the decedent, if they exist, giving you the privilege of reading bank and security statements, retirement account and social security statements, real estate records, household bills and credit card slips, insurance policies, and all the clues that you need are right there in those documents. Recently, I had a friend whose brother died, leaving her as his executrix. He did not have a scrap of paper in his home. Everything was in the cloud. Nowhere did he leave a list of passwords, and since he was a security expert, figuring them out was a difficult task. If you manage your papers virtually, then figure out a way to leave behind a master password and instructions for those who you charge with the responsibility to be your executor. As for debts and obligations, those will be revealed to you from the statements you are mining for information. When you keep the house running, before determining what to do with it, utility bills will need to be paid, lawns maintained, and repair to the property attended to until its disposition. If there is a mortgage to be paid, it will need to be addressed. In addition, it may be required to post a public advertisement requesting that anyone who believes they have a claim against the estate to come forward with their claim and documentation of that claim during a certain period of time. And if they don't come forward, they will be forfeiting their rights to make that claim and receive any kind of compensation if it is indeed a legitimate claim. You will want to close credit card accounts once they are paid off, as well as any other online accounts that may exist, to proactively address any identity theft issues that could occur. This can be a lot harder than it sounds because you have to figure out, did they have an account at Amazon? Did they have an account at J.Crew? Did they have an account at the Gap? And how you can manage to close those and remove and delete any sensitive information such as credit cards, et cetera. This is where the letters testamentary come in. You may have to present those to the company in and tell them that there has been a death and that these accounts need to be closed. That can be kind of a long and tedious job, I'll tell you that much. These would include any reward programs that might provide transferable benefits for the beneficiaries of the state. For example, if there were airline miles, well, what happens to them? Different programs have different policies. It could be that the beneficiaries could obtain those airline miles. It's also possible that they will not transfer those points or those miles, in which case they might allow you to convert them to gift cards or something of that sort that could be distributed to the heirs. Check the credit reports for the decedent and block their credit status to protect any fraud from occurring. Your role as executor will be to make decisions about what to sell, when to sell, and then how to distribute the remainder to the beneficiaries. You will be managing this person's financial life after they're gone. If money is tight, you may be forced to act quickly in order to cover all obligations and still have money left over. If there are substantial assets and some of the beneficiaries are interested in owning that house or piece of real estate, then you will have to work that out in a fair and businesslike manner. Seek legal advice from the attorney who's helped you probate the will and, if necessary, expert advice regarding the disposition of assets that best benefit the heirs. So, for example, you would talk to a realtor or three different realtors to get an idea of what the value or the market price of a house would be. Certainly, you would talk to whoever the individual is that represents the company holding securities or at the bank. It may be that some of the beneficiaries, it may be left up to you to decide to divide up stock or to sell the stock. One thing to remember is upon date of death, at least at this point in time and space, there is a stepped up cost basis value on everything in the decedent's estate. So, if you sell something, the capital gains that will be generated will only be the difference between the date you sell them and the date of death valuation. So normally there's not much there to create a tax liability. Okay. Number five, communicate with the beneficiaries under the will. Once you understand what the assets are and the liabilities of the estate and you've consulted with an attorney, it may be time to communicate with the beneficiaries to let them know what to expect. This can be done in person or via mail, outlining the wishes of the decedent and including a copy of the will, which, once it is probated, is publicly available anyway. The more transparent you can be, the better your relationship will be with the beneficiaries and the happier they will be. If you are a beneficiary yourself, then clarity and communication is essential. If there is a multitude of ways to disperse personal property, then canvass the beneficiaries to find out what method they think is fair. If there is going to be real property or personal property for sale, then give the beneficiaries a chance to make an offer at the professionally appraised valuation or via an auction process in which they are included. Make an effort to communicate regularly, at least once a month or once a quarter, with the beneficiaries to let them know what you are doing. If you are just waiting for an appraisal, or if you are waiting for a house to sell, or if you are waiting to hear from the IRS auditors, then let them know what is going on so they will not have to pester you or wonder what is happening. 6. Prepare tax filings for the decedent and the estate if necessary. The last year the decedent is alive, there will be a tax return due for that year. If they worked with an accountant, then have the accountant handle this return too. In addition to the decedent's last return, there may be an estate tax return that calculates and pays the estate and gift taxes due on an estate as it is valued at death. And depending on how long it takes to settle the estate and the estate tax liability, there may be the need to file income tax returns for the estate as long as it exists before the final distributions are made from the estate assets. As executor, you will be responsible to hold back enough funds to pay the taxes due for the yearly return, as well as to pay the accountant and attorney's fees, if any, are due. 7. Plan distributions to the beneficiaries. Some states have rules that require that some kind of distribution be made to the beneficiaries each year, while the estate is pending its final disposition. Ask the attorney you're working with as to whether this is required in your state and what qualifies as a distribution. Is distributing personal property like furniture, jewelry, art considered a distribution? Are only securities or cash qualified? If an estate tax return is filed and tax paid, the IRS will either accept the return with a letter stating that fact, or an audit may be performed delaying any distributions. If you are in a position where you have to make a distribution to comply with the law, then make the minimum that is required so that you still have sufficient assets to cover any further estate taxes that may result from the audit. Once you are given the go-ahead from the IRS, or if the estate is not sufficiently large enough to pay estate tax, then expeditiously distribute the assets after you've consulted with the attorney and addressed any of the beneficiary's preferences or desires. Someone may want to buy the old farmhouse that otherwise would be sold in a public marketplace. Or Dad's Mercedes convertible might have sentimental value to your sister, and she'd like to buy it. Or everyone might want cash and prefer to sell everything at an estate sale. Sometimes decedents state specifically how they want to distribute things and the method that they want to use when they write their will. So make sure that you comply with the decedent's request as opposed to the beneficiary's request, because the decedent, the will is all about last wishes, last desires on the part of an individual who's passed away. Serving as an executor may require you to be diplomatic, sensitive to others' needs and feelings, have business savvy, be a clear communicator, and a careful record keeper. Take your time, make deliberate decisions, and keep everyone aware of where you are in the process. You'll do a fantastic job and live up to the desires of the person who entrusted you with the role as executor or executrix of their estate. If you are in the process of writing your will or making an effort to organize your life to make it easier for those you leave behind, then consider using a simple notebook to include a copy of your will, a list of your accounts, insurance policies, real estate, and any other assets that belong to you. If you have various debts, aside from credit card debt, then list those too. Include your passwords for bank and investment accounts, if there are any, as well as any credit card or other financial or shopping account. I hope the tips and hints that I've given you today will be helpful to you in the event that you find yourself in the position of serving as the executor or executrix of an estate of someone that you love or someone that is close to you. Thank you for joining me today for the Money Smarts for You show. Please email me your questions or thoughts to Barbie, B-A-R-B-I-E, at moneysmartsforyou.com. That's M-O-N-E-Y-S-M-A-R-T-S, letter4u.com, and we will cover them in future shows. Remember, take care of your money to take care of yourself.
Thank you for joining us today. Find out more at moneysmartsforyou.com. Like us on Facebook, buy the book on Amazon, and remember to subscribe to the show.